You were cast into leadership. Somebody saw something. I mean, there could have been some other second lieutenant they would have put there, too. You'd proven yourself somewhere along the line. Do you think you saw yourself in leadership back in college?
I don't think.
Okay, so this would have been the first you really would put in a leadership role. And you embraced it. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I grew to love helping people.
Yeah.
That's it.
How long were you there in Italy?
I was there 3 years.
But then you were not finished.
No. In fact, I can remember like it was yesterday. I was married and had one son, Patrick, who was born in Italy, baptized at the Leaning Tower of Pisa. He was 1 year old. It was 1969. And what were we going to do? We had a lovely time in Italy. I had great ratings on my job performance. Did I want to go back to Lawton? Really, no. So I thought about it a while, and I said, Kathy, who I was married to at the time, would you mind if I stayed in the military for a little while longer? The problem was that if I did stay, I knew that I had to go to Vietnam. So once I decided that that was going to be what I wanted to do, I did receive orders to go to Vietnam, and we accepted that. Kathy went to Honolulu with Patrick to live, and I went to Vietnam.
Hmm.
I was sent to school after Italy to information officer school, which was at Fort Ben Harrison. Extensive protocol sessions and also getting ready for things like general officers, writing newspaper articles for a brigade, which was 1,000 men. I was then a captain, got promoted to captain, went to that school, and then headed off.
What was your first assignment in Vietnam?
My first job in Vietnam was information officer for the 1st Signal Brigade. It was covering stories all over the country, over the battalions. I was also the general's briefer. Every morning at 6:30, I had to get up and go over to the general's headquarters and brief him and all staff, there'd be 20 or 30 staff people, on how many casualties we had in the last 24 hours, where our men were, where our problems were, and all that. I'd get through with that at 7:30 in the morning and start getting ready for the next briefing the next day for that whole rest of the day. I remember Sam Donaldson being over there.
The ABC reporter.
ABC reporter. Sam was pretty negative back in those days. He wanted to cover stories about all the problems with drugs and why we shouldn't have been there. At that time, my job was to escort him around to our units. Not long ago, Sam was here, and I think he was the host of Kathy Keating when she became Hall of Fame. I saw Sam after 30, 40 years, and frankly, he looks quite the same. But I learned a lot about the news media and all of that. Then I went back into being a company commander, back out in the boonies, and all of a sudden got a call one day. They sent a helicopter out to get me, and I didn't understand why, but at the time, the commanding general of the 1st Signal Brigade was looking for an aide de camp. He needed somebody that could stay with him. What an aide does is, I'm telling you the truth, every day after lunch we played tennis. So that tennis that Mother got me into years and years ago with the general's mess, where there would be generals that would be visiting that would play tennis, General Foster and so many other generals liked to play tennis, and that was what my job was as an aide, was to get the games together and do that. And in the evening at 6 o'clock at the general's mess, exactly 36 generals from the various units would come together to eat dinner. And it was five knives and five forks. I mean, it was protocol all the way. At a certain time, they would ring the bell and everybody would sit by rank. The aide-de-camps would be at a certain table. I learned then that there was a quality that I would never see again. General Barry McCaffrey's father, General McCaffrey, was the commanding general of Long Bend, Vietnam. He was a four-star general. Barry would come in. He was a captain at the time. So I watched how their sons would all go to West Point and how they would become a part of the military and the close comradeship. The honesty still rings out in me, and how honest our military people are about how important it is to be truthful and to never, ever sway. So those qualities stayed with me all the time. I then left Vietnam, and that same general went on to shape Belgium, and I went to the advanced course at Fort Monmouth, New Jersey, for captains, and I got a call, would I please come on back over to shape Belgium and take over as his aide? And I, at the time, said, "General, I've had that. I've got to stay home." At that time, I wanted to go home to Oklahoma to kind of get a feel, should I stay in the military or not?
This makes it sound pretty easy for you. You played tennis and an aide and all that kind of thing, but you did receive two Bronze Stars, and they don't give those for playing tennis.
No, they don't, and those Bronze Stars were given to me during the time as a company commander. You have to be in actual combat when you receive those. By the grace of God, I made it through. I lost some men during that time that kind of haunted me for a long time in my life, but I tried to make amends by going to see their families in small little towns in Texas and Missouri. You know, at 22, 23 years of age, to be a company commander in a war zone, I was just too young. I did not fully have all the combat experience that I needed to have during that time. I did the best I could, but I still lost some men.
You think you were pushed along too fast?
I think we were in such dire need back in those days. What I'm worried about so much today are these young officers going over two and three and four times over there. People in the United States don't understand what that does to a human being's mind. So I do say that it's tragic that we didn't have more time, more experience at that young age.
You led a company in battle.
Yes, sir.
You lost men, and were you wounded?
No, I was never wounded.
You saw a battle?
Yes, it was called Quezon. It was a major operation, and my company was to take a certain area in that battle, and we did fine, but actually I did lose some people, and so I was awarded one Bronze Star on that deal and then another Bronze Star on another combat operation.
And you were also awarded three Vietnam Service Medals and the Vietnamese Cross of Gallantry.
Yeah, well, that was for those two times. In fact, I still wear my little Bronze Star deal just to remind myself of how important it is.
This would have been 60.
This was 69-70, and the war was coming to a close in 71 as far as people leaving. But my aide-de-camp time extended me some to stay over there for the general aide-de-camp.